matter what people say. We got it going on. Who cares about what they think?
You know me, I'm the hottest in the
game. WJMS. This is According to RP.
Turn up the volume, kick back, and get raw with us.
From the latest hip hop beats to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
And now your host, Rita.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I hope you guys had a wonderful, wonderful weekend so far. So I know this show airs at 7 p.m. and many of you who normally would listen to the show are probably watching the Super Bowl. Hopefully you guys are doing both at the same time. You have According to RP, you know, on the low, and then you have Super Bowl on, and then when the Super Bowl goes on commercial, you're tuning back into According to RP. I'm hoping that that's what's happening, but then again, now that I think of it, people live for Super Bowl commercials, so you're probably not paying attention at all. Either way, I forgive you because it is Super Bowl, and I'm probably the womp womp of the week for having a show during Super Bowl. But the beautiful thing about According to RP is that you can always catch the replay on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify. So for those of you who are, you know, who have this in the background or not tuning in, definitely subscribe to one of those platforms and catch the replay. And you should subscribe regardless of whether or not you're able to catch the live episodes or not, because, you know, maybe you want to listen to it again, you know, on the way to work. Maybe you caught a gem and you wanted to kind of like replay that for your motivation of the week. I don't know. But either way, we're definitely going to start pushing the podcast platforms, because after this show airs live, it does go to the iTunes of the world and the SoundClouds and the Stitchers, and it lives in podcast form. So we definitely want to encourage you all to subscribe to those panels. So interestingly enough, last week I had Paul Bromley on the show. We had our According to RP and PB segment. And after we wrapped up the show, like maybe, I don't know, an hour later, we ended up getting the news that Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna Marie Bryant died in the helicopter crash. And we both were texting each other like, really? Like, we just wrapped up the show and this is what happens? Like, craziness. So obviously I didn't get to address it on last week's show. So, you know, I'm not really going to address it per se here. I think we've gone through literally 8 days of asking questions. Some of you guys were mourning. I mean, it's one of those things where it's very sad, but you also don't want to keep belaboring, you know, the point. But I did want to just, you know, give my condolences to all of the, victims of the helicopter crash. So yes, Kobe Bryant and his daughter, but also the other individuals who lost their lives as well. I process things differently from a lot of people. I am saddened by it. One, because, you know, the 13-year-old daughter, Gianna, Gigi, as they call her, she was just 13 and lost her life. And for me, it's always heartbreaking when a child that young loses their life. I mean, my son is 13. And so I see it in that, you know, with that respect, like, wow, like if my son were to, you know, pass away at this moment, I don't know how, you know, how I would feel. I don't know how I would operate. I think I would probably go numb. So I definitely feel for Vanessa, because, you know, she didn't just lose her husband. People lose spouses all the time, and it's very tragic. Yes, people get over it. They get remarried. But when you lose your child, like, that's a different experience. You carry that child for, you know, anywhere from 6 to 9 months. And that, you know, that's your child, that's your baby. And so to lose a child at such a young age, it's devastating. And I'm not sure how she's handling, you know, all of this. Obviously, she's processing it in the way that's best for her. But, you know, that's really where my heartbreak, you know, went to. I mean, Kobe Bryant passing away, unfortunately, this is a part of life. People pass away. This is what happens. And we've experienced tons and tons of celebrities over the last few years lose their lives. I think the thing with Kobe, it's that, you know, he was a basketball player that was one of the greatest. Some would say the great. I was never a Lakers fan, so I'm not one of those people who are now jumping on the Lakers bandwagon because Kobe is no longer with us. I was never a Lakers fan, but I always enjoyed good basketball. Like I said on previous shows, I grew up on public television. My mother cut the cable, so I watched sports as a kid. Like. And even into, a good portion of my adulthood. I still love basketball. It's just that, you know, there are other things that are going on in life. And so I make my priorities. But I still like to go to basketball games. I still love the sport. I've always been into players as opposed to, like, a team in a sense. Like, with every team in the NBA, I always identified players that I liked and I respected and I loved to watch. So Kobe was obviously one of the players that I love to watch because he is good. Whether you like him as a person, I mean, I know a lot of people are like, oh, I hated Kobe. I was watching all these posts on Instagram over the last, you know, week. I hated him, you know, but you taught me so much. And I don't know. I'm like, I get it, because I had this hate of Karl Malone for the longest time. Why? I don't know, but I hated Karl Malone. He was a very good player, but I hated him. But I don't know. Like, I don't know. I've just been seeing a lot of these, like, posts and just declarations of, like, how Kobe has changed people's lives, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know. People express grief in different ways, I guess. And it is a loss for the community because he was doing a lot for the community, you know, with his Mamba League and just the Mamba mentality, and then just really, you know, trying to really reshape, I guess, the way people think. But the cynical, you know, side of myself is just like, there's so much public outcry, you know, for this celebrity. And then I'm just thinking about, like, you know, all of the other Black individuals who lost their lives. And I don't see, you know, so much outcry. Like, yeah, there's protests if it's police, you know, related or whatever the case is. And people, you know, they come out and they protest and they're angry for a moment. But I don't know. I don't see this much outcry. And I don't know, maybe it's, you know, it could simply be, well, you know, they're not celebrities. And so we haven't been able to follow their lives. So therefore, there's not much of a connection there. So I guess I get that point, right? I mean, we've been watching Kobe for some of us, it's been like the majority of our lives. So although we don't know him personally, there is a connection to him, as opposed to these other individuals who lost their life due to police brutality and other instances like that. I guess the reason we're not outcrying so much is because, you know, we're upset and we protest about the police brutality part, but we were never connected to these individuals. We didn't grow up seeing them on television. We don't really know much about them. And so I guess that's where the connection is lacking. And therefore, that's why we're not on social media, you know, pouring our hearts out and whatnot. That could be it. I don't know. Either way, long rant. Definitely sending condolences for everybody who's mourning. You know, I mean, I'm not that cold of a person. There are people who are truly mourning. You know, some of my friends are truly in shock and are truly affected by the loss of Kobe, you know, his daughter and whatnot. And so, you know, I think the main idea, if there were to be one, or the main message, or I don't know, the silver lining, if you will, out of all of this, is that it's a reminder to us that life is short and that life is not, like, tomorrow is definitely not promised. In fact, I mean, this afternoon isn't promised. Tonight isn't promised. You know what I mean? Like, nothing is really promised except for the moment that you're currently in. And I think a lot of us, you know, me included, I'm definitely one of these people who is always like planning the next step, planning for the future, planning for the next 5 years. And sometimes all that planning kind of takes you out of the moment, right? Like, we're so focused about, well, you know, the grind and making sure you're good tomorrow and good for next week and good for next year. And although that is important, I think we need to figure out a way to still be present while we're grinding for the future, because we can get up and start the grind, you know, for, you know, and then in the morning and then not show up at home in the afternoon. Right. And so I think when it comes to our loved ones, when it comes to our friends and family, when it comes to the things that are truly important in the now, we do need to make more time to focus on the now, to focus on the present, to focus on the people that you currently have in your life, in your face, your spouses, your girlfriends, your boyfriends, your family members, your children, you know, those who are important. Like, yeah, it's great to, you know, be in that zone, but you have to also make time for the now. You also have to acknowledge the present and the people who are here in the present. Because, I mean, I've heard many stories from individuals who, you know, their spouses or their parents or their kids left the house. And it was kind of like a, yeah, you know, I'm out. Like, no, I love you. No, I love yous. No, nothing. And then tragic accident happens. And their biggest regret is I did not take the moment to say I love you or to spend time with them. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, you can't take it back, obviously, and it'll probably haunt you for the rest of your life. So at the end of the day, with this Kobe situation that took place, you know, very, very sad, but I think it is an awakening for us to realize that we really only have the moment that we're currently in. We don't even have later on today. We don't. So hopefully, you know, those of us who are obsessed with the grind, obsessed with the future, will start to step back a little bit and start really making time for what's important in the now, right? So, I mean, it's a little hard to kind of like follow up after you talk about that, right? But the show has to go on. The show must go on. We still need to press on. You acknowledge what took place, you mourn, you shed your tears, but you still have to move on with life. And I think that that's also the important lining as well, too, is that life still goes on, you know, after death. And so we will be moving on the According to RP show because we have an amazing guest that will be gracing the mic in a short while. Demi Dabati. I think I might have mentioned her on this show before, but she is a songstress, a songwriter, and a teacher, a middle school teacher in these New York City streets, teaching are middle schoolers in New York City. So those of you who have any understanding about middle schoolers, you guys know that she is a saint. In fact, I might be calling her Saint Demi from now on because I have a middle schooler and I can tell you firsthand these kids are crazy. So these, you know, she is taking care and she is formulating the minds of our eighth graders, our sixth graders, our seventh graders. So definitely kudos to her for that. But she's going to be on the show. She's going to talk about her latest music that has come out. She's going to talk about how she's able to balance being a singer, an artist, and a middle school teacher here in New York. So you definitely want to keep it locked for that. And so with that being said, we are on to the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
May I have the definition?
What does skeet skeet mean?
What's on fleek?
Can you use it in a sentence?
I'm a fleek, you lit.
And it's gonna be lit.
Major key.
It's time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
So this week's Urban Dictionary word of the week is pedophile. It is not penophile, it is penophile. So a penophile is someone who has an intense love for pens, not to be confused with pedophile. A penophile is anyone who knows the name and brand of their most and least favorite pens. Hashtag pen lover, hashtag nerd, hashtag geek, hashtag ADD child. Interesting. So I don't know. It's funny because when I first saw the word pedophile, I was like, oh, somebody who is continuously stealing pens, because we know these people in our lives. When you have a good pen, you make sure you keep that under lock and key. Like when somebody asks for a pen and you know all you have are good pens, you are the individual who will say, nah, I don't have any pen, sorry. Because of the fear that you will not get that pen back. I don't know why it's so hard to ask for your pen back, but it is a thing because I feel like I've even done it. Like if I know I have that one good pen and I am asked for a pen, I will say, nah, I don't got no pens. I don't know. Is that a little white lie that'll keep me from the pearly gates? I feel like I have to start reevaluating the things that I do and say nowadays. I'm like, damn, that was a little white lie. Is that going to keep me from the kingdom? But either way, but the pedophile thing is serious. Like, it's to the point now, I have seen people literally collect massive amounts of pens from TD Bank because they are a big pen giver company or whatever. They give pens out like it's candy. They also give out candy. But either way, TD Bank, I forgot where else gives out mad pens, but it's to the point that there are people who literally go and collect pens so that when people ask them to borrow pens, they'll just give them a TD Bank pen, say, you know what, you can keep it. It's not that serious. But pen snatching is a big thing. Like, it's to the point, one time I remember somebody took one of my good pens and it's like a week later I saw them using that pen. And I was like, nah, that's my pen. So it's a serious situation, but apparently what I thought the definition was going to, I guess, you know, what it was going to be is not this. This is saying somebody who has an intense love for pens. I mean, I do know people who do have pen collections and I guess that's where their intense love for pens is. But I don't know. I feel like this definition is a little misleading. I don't know. You guys let me know what you think. I mean, with everything going on in the world, right? This is what I'm asking you to focus on. But hey, sometimes we need the little distraction. So I don't know. Let me know. Like, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this. A pedophile. Somebody who knows the brand. I don't even know anybody who knows the brand names of their pens. Like, I don't know. Maybe there's another definition. But either way, that is the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week. So we are now at the point of my favorite segment of the show, but unfortunately, I actually don't have a big up of the week. And so this week's big up of the week is to all of us who have made it to see another Black History Month. I know it sounds cheesy, it might even sound borderline corny, but it's true. I mean, it's Black History Month. We're in the second day of Black History Month. So, you know, Black History Month is one of those times where it's like, people who are not Black are always kind of like, I don't get it. It happens every year. And although I am Black 365 days a year, Black History Month is that moment in which we as Black people can, like, you know, remind the world that, yes, we are important. We are the one, like that refrigerator that you're using right now or that air conditioner, you better think a black man or woman for that. It's, you know, because every year, like, I feel like I learned something new during Black History Month with regards to inventions. Like, you know, I can't remember the last thing I found out that was made by a Black person, but I love finding out that, you know, these everyday household items and these, you know, things like the streetlight, which I think I knew that in elementary school, but there are a lot of things that we've created that we have been in, you know, we've invented. And I feel like every year I learn something new and then I'm even more in awe of our people. And I think that that's what Black History Month is really there for, to just really highlight the accomplishments of Black people all over the world and to really shine light on it and to remind these white people that, yo, like, you know, you would not be comfortable without us because we pretty much created everything. And I think it's important to share that with the children as well, too, because I feel like in school, I don't know. I mean, I haven't sat in one of these classrooms in a long time, but I feel like they're not really educating the kids as to what Black history is and, you know, why it's important. I just don't feel like the kids are getting, I don't know, like, at least I haven't heard my son come home talking about, let me tell you what I heard, you know, learned about Black history. I don't know. I don't know. But I do try to make it a thing in my household, especially. I try to, you know, for the next couple of weeks, we'll definitely be having Black History Month facts. I think it's important to take advantage of the month that we have and really, you know, go crazy. I mean, civilly crazy. But meaning like really, you know, really dig into our history. Sometimes I feel like Black History Month is the only time that people really get into their history and really acknowledge their history. So, I mean, this year we have an extra day. It's a leap year. So I don't know what we're going to do with that. But I'm definitely here for all of the Black history knowledge, all the Black history history. So if you have any fun facts, any cool facts that you would love for me to shout out on the show or to share with the rest of the general public, definitely slide up in my DM, According to RP, on Instagram. Or you could send me an email at accordingtorp@gmail.com. I will gladly use that information on my show, as it is more content for me. But I guess this spiel on Black History Month replaced the big up of the week. So I am bigging up not just all of us who made it to see another Black History Month, but I am just bigging up Black history in general. All of our our forefathers, our foremothers who paved the way for us to be where we are now, and all of us who've taken the mantle to continue the work. I think it's important to acknowledge the people who truly are continuing the work, continuing, you know, the struggle, and really, you know, just out here, just making sure that we are educated and that we are doing what we need to do as Black people. So big up to all of you. And I think that's that for that. So it's now time for our Womp Womp of the Week. Our Womp Womp of the Week is once again the U.S. government and Agent Orange, who is occupying the White House. Now, I try not to make him and his administration the focal point of any of my womp-womps, but I feel like I just can't help myself because he keeps giving me more and more ammunition. So I'm not sure if you guys are aware, but there have been several immigration bans and whatnot taking place within the last couple of weeks, actually. And so last week, I was actually reading about this new visa restriction with regards to pregnant women in order to prevent birth tourism. So basically, I think the U.S. government is reducing the amount of, it's either they're reducing the amount of visas or they're actually not issuing visas to pregnant women that they suspect are planning to actually have their baby in America to then, you know, create some sort of birth tourism where at some point, I guess this child will then give them American citizenship. So they're trying to prevent this, what they call birth tourism. So if you're, I guess, you know, if you're a certain amount of months pregnant, you may be blocked from getting a visa to come to the United States. Now, do I get where they're coming from with this? Yes, because there are a lot of people who do come to America primarily to have their children, meaning they're traveling in their ninth month, you know, against doctor's orders so that they could come drop the baby in the United States. I don't know how I feel about that. Like, I know it happens, but I mean, if it happens, it happens. I don't know. But this is kind of where the whole economics of things come into play, because there are a lot of individuals, Black individuals, who will say, like, listen, like, this is not, you know, I should not have to pay my tax dollars for this woman from this other country who purposely came to have her children here. And now I have to, now we have to pay, you know, into the welfare system and all this other stuff so that this, you know, this kid's going to be in the foster care system or whatever it is. I mean, I get it. It's one of those touchy subjects and I totally understand it, but I don't know. I just feel like the way they're going about it is all wrong. But I guess we could talk about that on a future episode, because I definitely want to get the real opinions of people. I feel like a lot of times when it comes to the immigration thing, there are a lot of Black people, a lot of Black and brown people who have some viewpoints that might be in alignment with Agent Orange, but because they don't want to be seen as the outsider. They don't want, you know, to be stoned to death. They keep their opinions to themselves. But I can understand where some individuals are coming from with their belief systems with regards to the immigration system. Because at some point, I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm the child of an immigrant. I have my beliefs, obviously, when it comes to immigration. This is America. It's the land of the free, home of the brave, allegedly. So I feel like all of these bans, all of these restrictions, you know, we need to really, you know, evaluate that. Because for the most, I mean, everybody here is from somewhere else. Whether you came from Plymouth Rock or whatever, wherever the hell you came from, England, Ireland, like everybody came from somewhere aside from the Native Americans. Like, that's just what it is. But I feel like, you know, all of these bans and all of these restrictions, I mean, there are some restrictions and some bans that are for good cause, such as terrorism. But I don't know. I feel like, I don't know how I feel about this birth tourism pregnancy ban thing. Either way, that was last week. Now we are dealing with a travel ban that's been expanded to 6 more nations, one of them being my beloved Nigeria. Now, I am not Nigerian. However, I absolutely love Nigerians. I have a lot of Nigerian friends. Since I was a kid, you know, one of my mom's really good friends was Nigerian. So I kind of grew up eating, you know, fufu and puff puff and jollof rice. Although I will say that I have discovered another jollof rice that I like better than the Nigerian jollof rice. Please hold your stones for a later time. We will get into the jollof wars on another episode. However, today we are talking about this travel ban that's including the country of Nigeria. Now, according to BBC, what do the new rules mean? Like, what are the new rules, right? Well, the U.S. said it would suspend the issuance of visas that can lead to permanent residency for nationals of Nigeria. I can never say this country right. Eritrea, I think. Kyrgyzstan and Myanmar. Sudanese and Tanzanian nationals will no longer be allowed to apply for diversity visas, which are available by lottery for applicants from countries with low rates of immigration to the U.S. Those of you who watch 90 Day Fiancé know a little bit about this because Blake's, you know, fiancé who came from the Netherlands, I believe Sweden, her sister got to America on a lottery. So I feel like a lot of these lotteries are happening in non-Black countries. But that's for another discussion. Either way, so Mr. Wolf, somebody that the BBC interviewed apparently, said non-immigrant visas given to people with temporary stays, including visitors, those doing business, or people seeking medical treatment, would not be impacted by the new rules. Of the new nationalities facing visa restrictions, Nigerians account for the most immigration to the U.S. According to U.S. government statistics, the State Department issued 8,018 immigrant visas to Nigerians in the fiscal year of 2018. I will tell you that I'm pretty sure that there are more Nigerians that receive that. But it is what it is. Either way, now, according to CNN, here's the part that people, I guess, are not necessarily understanding when it comes to these travel bans. I'm not saying that I agree with it, but what I'm saying is that there's another part to it. According to CNN, any country on either ban can have their restrictions removed at any time by fixing the deficiencies, according to the DHS official, pointing to Chad being removed from the list for making improvements on lost and stolen passports, reporting and deepened exchange of terrorist information. So basically, you know, the government is essentially saying, listen, we have these travel bans because there are some deficiencies in the way, you know, in the way that I guess passports are being issued and, you know, the way visas are being issued and whatnot. And we believe that that's where a lot of corruption is taking place because there's just a lack of, safety protocols and whatnot that's going on. And so they're saying that if the countries were to fix the deficiencies that I'm assuming they issue a list of deficiencies to these countries when they say, hey, you're now on a travel ban. But they're saying that if you if the countries, you know, work at fixing these deficiencies, you can then be taken off of the travel ban list and all will be well. And so they pointed to Chad, which is an African nation, a country in Africa, for those of you who do not know, how at one point they were on the travel ban list, but that they fixed their deficiencies and now they're off of the list. So, I mean, I guess they're trying to say that, listen, there's hope. You just got to fix a couple of things. So with respect to the Nigerian thing, I really don't know. I really don't know what this means. I've seen several articles as of the last few days talking about how Nigerians are up in arms and how they're upset over this. And I totally understand it because, I mean, I have a lot of Nigerian friends and they come and they go and then they have, you know, a lot of them, you know, have their spouses in Nigeria and the hope is that they can come to the US. And so, you know, there's a lot of back and forth going on, a lot of back and forth travel and a lot of hopes of bringing people over legitimately. And so this travel ban definitely puts a damper onto this. So I don't know what the future holds. I'm hoping that Nigeria, I guess, being as proactive a nation as it is, will go ahead and address these deficiencies to get their asses off the list. In the meantime, if you know Nigerians the way I know Nigerians, the ban is not going to stop them from coming to America and figuring out how to get here if need be. I am not worried about my people. But I will say, though, that I guess if there is a way, if there truly is a way, I mean, they pointed to the country of Chad. I have not done enough research to really see how many countries who are on, who have been travel banned, have gotten off the list. I don't even remember Chad being on the list, but apparently this is something more extensive than I thought. But I don't know. I mean, clearly the agenda of the White House is to get rid of black and brown people. Clearly that is the agenda. And they're definitely going about it very strongly. I don't know. I don't know how to feel about this. I mean, I definitely am going to have a follow-up, an actual show dedicated to this topic, hopefully in the next couple of weeks. I know we've talked about immigration before on this show, but I feel like, you know, I'm looking to see who's going to be on the list next week, because I feel like every week now there is something added to this immigration situation. And it's funny because I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but people have actually said, like, you know, with the whole Kobe situation, and there's been a couple other things have, you know, distracted us from the real agenda of the White House, that they're working hard in the White House to take us down. Meanwhile, we're distracted by other things. I mean, I don't know how to feel about that either, but either way, we are now on to the meat of the show. All right, everyone, I'm here with my very special guest, Demi Dabadi. Demi, say hello.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much, Rita, for having me. And you said Dabadi, not the baby or the body.
Or the baddie.
I'm like, what?
But you know what, though? Your name has that, like, vixen. Because I was talking to somebody the other day, I think my assistant, actually. Mm-hmm. And she was like, who are you going to have on the show this week? I said, Demi Dabadi. And she was like, Demi Dabadi? She's like, that name sounds so... I'm like, that is such a vixen name.
Really?
It is a vixen name.
Maybe because I'm me. I'm like, oh, it's pretty wholesome and regular.
Yeah, no, it's a good vixen name.
Aw, thank you.
I mean, vixen was like a thing back then. I mean, there's no more like music videos anymore,
correct,
right? So
correct.
Therefore, it's not a negative thing anymore, right? I guess.
You're right. So I'm going to pose with some really short shorts.
Yes. You could be Demi Zabaddy.
Zabaddy. Say it right, Zabaddy.
All right. So, Demi, you are a singer, a songwriter, an educator. You're from Brooklyn, New York, born and raised.
Yes.
And, of course, Haitien.
Pop, 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 pop.
I'm going to get the boop, boop, like a little sound effect.
I know. Something.
Or a little compa, a little sweet Mickey, I don't care.
That's exactly when you drop it, right after somebody says it.
Very cool. So, I mean, I want to definitely talk about your singing career because it's been taking off. I mean,
I've been
seeing you on Instagram, the videos, like professional videos too.
Oh, yeah.
These are not basement videos.
No, we're not doing basement videos.
These are like, I saw a camera crew and everything.
You better believe it.
So you're doing the videos, you have the songs out. So I definitely want to get into the singing career.
Yeah.
But I definitely want to share with the audience how we've come to know each other. So you are also a St. John's alum.
Yes.
And I found that out afterwards. We found out through our friend Yave.
That's right.
Shout out to Yave.
Shout out to Yave.
And Tishui.
Tishui.
But I was like, wait, she went to, I think we might have went, I don't know if Yave introduced us first or if it was my cousin George.
I think it was George first.
It was
and
George.
Then we saw each other at another event that George was having. And then we, I don't know how St. John's came into the picture or the conversation, but because I knew Yave, I think we were like, yeah, you went to St. John's. Yeah, Rita went to St. John's.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a second, we all are Johnnies?
Because he was like, you don't know. I mean, he gave your government name. Can I drop your government name on here?
Yeah.
Know.
Oh, yeah, you
he
can.
He was like, there he goes, you don't know Daphne? I'm like, Daphne. But then I was like, I remember. I'm like, you mean Demi?
Yeah. That's how I know her at. Demi.
I'm like, I know Demi. But it was so cool. I was like, oh, she's a Johnny. And then I remember when I met you through George, I think one of his birthday fundraisers.
It sure was. You know, George is always having a party. Shout out to George. We'll be at a party on Sunday, the Super Bowl event.
Oh,
we'll
yes, that's
yeah.
right. I don't know if I'll be able to make it, but
we're going to go.
We'll
through.
See.
Yeah.
We'll see what God
it's,
does.
It's a good, yeah. It's a good day to kind of let your hair down.
Yeah. But I remember meeting you there and I was like, oh, great. And then you performed.
Yeah.
Now, I'm trying to remember, did you perform
I did.
One Heartbeat?
I don't know if I did. No, I didn't do Heartbeat. I did two other covers. And this was when they had a Black and White Affair.
Yes.
This was probably about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then we end up seeing each other at another event, which was in the middle of like Midtown or something.
Yeah,
yeah
he
you
had
see?
Another
so
event again.
We
yeah.
We're always circulating in the same circle. But
exactly.
I think Yave bridged the gap. Of,
he did. He
hey,
was just like,
Johnny and Johnny.
St. John.
Yep.
Haitian.
Yep. Yes.
Let's get it going.
That's it. Sound effects.
And then ever since then, we just kept bumping into each other. And then yep. we became intentional with, all right,
absolutely.
Let's actually exchange contact
absolutely.
Info. And
absolutely. And
then here we are.
Yeah.
In 2020.
See? Do you see life? Do you see life happening?
I see. And it's interesting because in March of 2019, when I had the open mic night,
mm-hmm.
you came out, you performed,
yes.
and then Gene was there.
Yes.
Gene saw you perform, and then there was another connection.
It's crazy.
And now we're both youth ambassadors for Capricare.
Unbelievable. It's unfreaking believable.
Yeah.
You see how life is?
Exactly.
I think it's just like one thing after the other. And this goes back to people saying, oh, just let it flow. Just let life flow. Don't
mm-hmm.
force anything. Don't believe that your prayers are not being heard. Don't believe that you're not, you know, moving in the direction that you should, because so often we question ourselves. But then when you start seeing pieces of the puzzle come together, or like energy and like minds congregating around the same missions, it's like, wait a second.
Yeah.
Like I gotta just fall back and just continue to like stand in my purpose and play
yeah.
my position. So it's good. You're good peoples. Rita's good peoples, y'all.
Oh,
you better go ahead and
too.
Follow her.
You're good. Yes, follow me.
Follow.
According to RP.
Yes. Hilarious post. Hilarious. Yes.
So let's get into you. So
yes,
I'm trying to figure out where to start first. Do we talk about your singing or do we talk about the fact that, so I came up, I don't know if somebody else came up with this before, but I am owning this saying. I am in the presence of a Clarketta Kent.
Aww.
Because Demi is like, you're a middle school teacher by day.
Yes, by day. Taught today, sixth grade, yes.
And then you are this diva, songstress, songwriter by, you know,
by
after
night.
4 p.m.
Yeah, yeah.
evening,
I go
weekend.
In the subway. I change in the subway.
And it's crazy because I remember I was telling you, I saw an image of you on Instagram in the classroom and you had your hair up in a bun. You had
yep.
a, you know, the teacher sweater.
That's right.
And I'm like, it seems like a regular person.
It's
but then when you see her performing and you see the music videos, you're like, who is this? Like,
wow.
this diva. So
aww.
You are a Clarketta Kent.
I love it. So Rita came up with that. She's going to hashtag it. And that's
I'm
what we're going to
hashtagging it. Don't nobody take it.
No.
Because I'm going to come after you. So let's talk about your singing career, because
yeah.
I feel like everything else can flow in, but I want to know, like, when did you get started with singing? Because, you know, you
yeah.
have people who say that I've been singing since I was out the
yeah.
womb, but what was your singing journey like?
So thank you for asking, because it's always like just important to be human, right? And
mm-hmm.
show the roadmap to your story. Because, yeah, I wasn't born into an entertainment family. My parents were Haitian immigrants. They brought us to, you know, to private school. They just did the best that they could. And I'm so grateful for them. But what I do appreciate about my parents is them sort of giving my sister and I the lead way to, you know, go after what we desire. But they were very strict about doing well in school and staying consistent and getting an education and having good manners and all that stuff. But I say that to say I would be in private school, but then there were talent shows, and I would always want to do a talent show. I'd always want to lead, and not lead like, oh, I'm better than everyone. I was just like, I want to dance, I want to sing, I want to do it. And I did it intentionally, and I would do it often. And little by little, I realized like I had a hunger and a thirst for entertainment, and I would watch certain shows and be like, oh my goodness, I want to perform. But I was really scared to death. Like, I was a nervous wreck. I was always overly sensitive to what people would think, and you know, critic, like, oh, I don't want to be criticized. No, I can't do this. I can't do it. My hair doesn't look right. This doesn't look right. And I was always that way, right? And then fast forward, the shows kept going on. So now high school was happening, and I'm inviting my father to like talent shows, mm-hmm. and my mom. And then here we are at St. John's, believe it or not, my freshman year. Like, you know, I look back like, oh my goodness, I probably was such a dork. But I look back and I was again doing that, still staying in that same sort of entertainment, can I showcase my talent thing? When it got really serious was when I left high school. I think it was my first year of college, and I was interning at Sony Music. So I was an intern for Sony Music for about 2 years. And while I was there, ironically, I was in the TV and radio department, and Epic and Columbia were like a few levels down from me, but I wasn't in the like the jazz and sort of like, I wasn't in the whole foo-foo-la of everything, mm-hmm. you know? I was in a very quiet floor, and I was editing videos and working with a senior editor there. And I was like, you know what? I'm here at Sony. Like, I'm going to tell people that I want to sing and I like to sing. And I did, right? But nothing really even happened. I just knew I wanted to be in the arena where this sort of music life, this music world is happening. And this was a time of CDs. And this was the time of like A&Rs having meetings. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? There was no like major Instagram or Facebook or social media presence at all. So you really sort of had to show like who you were. But I ended up landing a meeting, ironically, right? With these two A&Rs. They came to a studio session of mine, but it wasn't intentionally. I would call it on purpose. Mm-hmm. And I was working with a producer who they had a meeting with. And so when they came in, they were just like, who's this girl? And we had a conversation. Next thing you know, about a week later, I'm on a plane to California.
Okay.
So here's what happened. I'm in California now. I meet with Tom Wally and Naeem Ali, who was the, I think he was the senior A&R at the time. And it was a great meeting, but we flew out there with another young man who was a really great rapper. And they wanted us to sort of have like a co-deal. Like, you know, we'll sign the girl, we'll sign the boy. But I knew I was onto something when I sat there with, you know, a senior executive, music executive. And he's like, who writes your music? And I'm like, oh, I write my own song. And he's like, who sings your melodies? And I'm like, oh, I sing the background. And this innocence of sort of like, hey, is something going to come from this? Rita, I get back on a plane to New York. There was a phone call in the airport, and the phone call was like, hey, what's up with Demi? What's going on? Like, you know, they were interested, and I knew in my spirit that something could have happened. Conversations happened behind the scenes without me being privy to it. You know, you talk about like not really owning your power or even asking questions mm-hmm. and letting things go and putting your life in someone else's hand, and nothing came from it. And I just remember being really, really sad, really, really upset, feeling like, oh my goodness, I went out there and nothing came from this, and this will never be my career. And so we talk our brains, right, and our minds out of it. And I continued on with school, and I went, you know, I got my degree, and then I went back to school again. And all this time, I still want to sing. All this time, I still want to perform. And I'm just like, how is this going to happen? And eventually, it was kind of like, oh, it's going to happen when you make it happen, right? Like no one else. Yeah. And that was like the eye opener. Because yes, people started hearing and seeing about me, and they knew I had a talent, but no one was moving it. And no one would move it until I probably started believing in myself and saying, I'm going to do this myself. So, you know, after sort of putting it to the side and thinking, I'm just going to, you know, get a job and go to school and mm-hmm. do the quote unquote right thing. It just wouldn't go away. The hunger and the thirst would not go away. So I feel like between 2017 and 2018 of me recording songs and recording music and trial and error, I'm finally in the space of like, you know what? I can't die with this inside of me. Yeah. It just has to come out. And here we are right now, like pumping out the juice.
Yeah, you're literally pumping it out, because I'm like, I remember when I first met you several years ago. And I remember, you know, your performings, two of your covers.
Yeah.
And then, but then I just feel like between March when you came and did the open mic until now, it's like song after song, music video. And again, I am, I am like a sucker for like cinematography.
Really?
And real, because one of my cousins, shout out to Lionel Sineas, he has a company Sineas Films.
Wow.
And he acts, so I've actually seen firsthand what it takes to actually produce even one shot, because he used my apartment one time for a scene in his film. And there was tons and tons of lighting equipment, sound equipment, like tons. Like my entire apartment was filled with equipment just for like 3 minutes maybe of a scene.
Isn't it crazy?
So when I'm seeing, you know, you're behind the scenes and I'm seeing the lighting and I'm seeing the equipment, I'm like, first of all, this is not cheap.
Not at all.
Second of all, this is very time consuming, because it would take 8 hours just to get 3 minutes.
Unbelievable.
So I'm just looking at like, she's actually like, she's doing it, but she's doing it well. She's not doing it with her iPhone. That. She's not doing it with,
I know,
you
right?
know, with a Canon T6, with a Go phone or a Go whatever, GoPro.
Yeah.
Like you're actually investing in it. And I think that it's definitely, I think people are seeing that though, because they're seeing the quality. And that's why behind the scenes are really important too, because they're like, this is like, and even just like, again, the cinematography, like the lighting, like this is not a basement shot, like
you're
video.
Right.
So I'm like, and you're pumping songs. Like every time I see you perform, I'm like, I don't know this song.
Yeah.
Like this is a new one.
Yeah.
So since we're onto the music, I do wanna kind of get some understanding about the concepts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have your song like Diamonds in My Crown.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what inspired this particular song?
Yeah. So a lot of what inspired it was what you mentioned, you know, this whole balance of being a teacher, being a mother, being an artist, right? Being a responsible citizen, right? There's so many things happening, and it doesn't matter what's going on. Life is still life. So you can be at the minute of your peak and having a wonderful day, and something comes sideways and sort of makes you question, are you on the right path, or am I doing the right thing? And life just continues to life, right? And I've found that I've worked very, very intentionally and hard on making sure that I'm really balanced, not only for myself, but for those that are extensions of me. I don't want to be this fake persona. Like I tell even my students or people that know me, what you see is what you get, right? I'm not like cursing people out if they cut me off on the highway. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden I'm smiling just because the camera's in my face. Like I am who I am, right? Period. And that consistency is really important to me. But Diamonds in My Crown is saying like, yeah, the Clarketta, what you mentioned, mm-hmm. it's, yeah, you know what? Saturday mornings, I have to scrub a tub and I have to clean the toilet, right? And I have to make sure that the house is clean, and I have to make sure that things are balanced, and I have to make sure that this, that, and the other. And it's not just one facet. So this fairy tale that social media does create to make it seem as though someone's life is better than yours or they're living it. No, I'm living it, and I want to show you that there's me in my element, right? As a teacher, there's me parenting, and that's important to me, and that's very deliberate for me. There's me as an artist who's not playing it, not so much playing it safe, but who's not playing it in a sense of waiting for something to happen now. Now it's just sort of like, this is what happens. But I have to say, Rita, I'm pretty OCD. So anyone who knows me knows that I start my day off with a list. Like I literally do. I'm checking things off. I'll confirm with you. You know what
yes.
I mean? It's important that I respect your time. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to need 30 minutes to find parking. So mm-hmm. let me just start you know what I mean? It's a science behind it, but it didn't just happen overnight. I think the constant practices that I've been doing over the years have brought me to this space here. And I would be like, God, I'm working so hard and I'm managing all this. You got to open up a door, you know, like God, you have to make a way. And I find that connections with people like yourself and people around me, the way is being made, where it's like, that wasn't in vain. Remember that experience? That wasn't in vain. Remember when you had to do that? That wasn't in vain. Remember that moment of you feeling like you're going to give up, right? Because I've mm-hmm. had that moment too, where I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to get my master's degree and then that's it. I'm
which you did anyways,
kids,
though.
Which I did anyway, right? Right? And I'm going to tutor kids in the summertime and that's it. But what's for you is for you. So when something calls you and you are given that birthright of, no, this is what you're supposed to be here for, it'll never escape you until you fulfill that purpose. So Diamonds in My Crown is about the different elements that women embody and that men embody, which is why I had my friend in the video mm-hmm. as a male, you know, playing my fake mate. Shout out to Matthew. Shout out to both Matthews. Matthew who filmed it and Matthew who featured, and Stephanie with the lighting. She's amazing. But yeah, the this is real. This is real life. I'm not pretending. Like I came home and I had to get settled, and I have to make sure that everything is in order before I step out. And that's important to me. And so, Diamonds in My Crown is very intentional to show people that it's not this fake facade. I don't have a nanny. No, you know, no shade to anybody that has a nanny. I'm sure when I get a buku rich, I'll have
Hello.
A nanny.
Hello,
or something, right? Or like a real legit, service. But yeah, that's what really inspired it. It's just inspired me to stay focused, to recognize that I can be that person on Saturday, and I can be a really great teacher and a really great mom, and I can be really present for myself. And it's important that all facets are respected. So that's where the song is inspired from.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate you even doing that, because I think, like you mentioned earlier with Instagram, I feel like Instagram, you know, just social media in general, but particularly Instagram, because yeah. for some reason, there's something about Instagram yeah. that, you know, you're scrolling and you're just like, wow, this person's life is perfect. Yeah. Or wow, this, you know, like.
They wake up and look out a balcony. It's amazing.
Exactly.
Oh, they eat fresh salad. You know, like, yeah.
And I remember I had seen a post, maybe a couple of months ago, mm-hmm. and it was some woman that I think I follow, but I don't really know her.
Yeah.
And she was just like, you know, I made like, you know, $30,000 in a month. And then it was kind of like shade to people who went to college and got educations, right?
Yeah.
Like, you guys are spending your money getting, you know, degrees, yep. yet, and you know, you're not even making the type of money I'm making. College is for fools. You guys are fools. And
I've heard that.
And I'm seeing that, and I'm like looking at, like, again, like social media just
yep.
being this platform.
Yep.
And so now somebody else was just like, man, this person's making $30,000. And my thing is like, that might be the case. You might actually be making $30,000 in a month.
Right.
But my thing is, but where is the story?
Absolutely.
Right? Like, you could, I'm not mad at the fact that you're doing this. I'm not a
absolutely.
Hater.
Absolutely.
What I do not like is when people who have quote unquote made it
agreed.
Make it seem as if they woke up like this, right?
Yeah.
And they don't share the story. They don't share the fact that they probably gave up five times.
Absolutely.
Or that they had to shift. Or that this was actually not even the first business idea that they had.
Absolutely.
And so I think it's, you know, incumbent on ourselves.
Right.
To actually, you know, like, you're making music,
yeah.
you're making videos,
yep.
But to show, like, but you see what I do during the day?
Absolutely.
I actually got to clock in and
absolutely.
Clock out and teach these kids. Like,
absolutely.
I'm not just some
absolutely.
Instagram model. Like, you know
you
what I mean?
You better believe it. And even with the videos, it's not even, you know, oh, I'm going to shoot a video today. No. So what you see manifesting now was planned several weeks ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Between going back and forth with specific dates and saying, okay, you know what? I'm going to need this amount for the video. So I need to put this aside for right now. I need to put this aside. And after the video shot, there's editing involved. So there's a whole lot of elements that you're right. People make it seem like it's some sort of cakewalk, and it's not. I will say discipline is important. Planning is important. Committing to the purpose is important. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to play it off like I don't plan and that I don't think it's important to be intentional about what you're doing, because a lot of people do want the rewards without the work. So yeah, at 12 midnight, I might be sending off my emails and confirming things or transferring money from one account to the other because I need to make sure that I can cover that check or that expense. Like, this is just a real behind the scenes of what's happening. And I'm just trusting the process. Even some days when you're just like, okay, you know what? Something's got to give. I need an investor. I need some backing. But I can proudly say that everything that you see, it's been on my back, and I pay for my things to get done. And I take the work that I do seriously, and I take the people I work with seriously. So no one's like texting me like, hey, we didn't get that. No. Everything is cleared. Everything is, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And this is just out of respect, not only for my craft, but the business etiquette that I'm creating, you know, 10 years from now, for 5, you know, 15 years from now. So it's important. It's just important to me. And it's not easy, but
yeah, it's definitely not. It doesn't look easy.
Yeah.
It doesn't look easy at all. And that's why I'm like, you know, I think, you know, the behind the scenes and really just, again, like, just being open and honest about
absolutely.
your journey. I think, you know, it's inspirational because a lot of people who, you know, want to be, you know, would love to sing or would love to come out in the entertainment
absolutely.
field, but they're like, man, I'm a teacher by day, or I'm a lawyer, I'm
yeah.
an accountant. Like, I'm not gonna be able to
right.
be both, and
right.
like, you're actually showing like you can be both, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And so I think that is very inspirational for people who
thank
do
you.
Have the creative sides, because I think a lot of us, we shy away from tapping into our creativity, because
yep.
we're just like, well, you know, I don't have time and I don't have the money or I can't do it, or they're just like, they're just so, you know, so just quick to give up on their dreams.
Absolutely.
But I think when you have people who are like out there saying like, listen, I might not go to sleep till 2 o'clock in the morning, but I'm out here doing it.
That's right. That's exactly it. And it's like that. There's some days when you're in the classroom, like, oh my goodness, how long am I going to be able to juggle this? Right. Like teaching, but I know that I have to be present for them. And the irony is they don't see any glamour. I don't even wear lipstick in the classroom.
That's what I'm saying. You know, when I saw your picture, I was like, this girl has a bun.
They're like, what?
And a teacher sweater.
They would be like, they'd be like, who is this? Who is this lady? Teacher sweater with the school logo on. I look like a librarian. Shout out to the librarians. You know, I know there are a few still open, but they absolutely have no idea what is happening behind the scenes. All they know is that I'm here to teach them, right? So I can't be like, listen, I'm really going to need you to focus today because I've been at the studio since 3 a.m. So no back talk, right? There's none of that.
No.
The reality is, it's just, you got to show up. So I would encourage everyone out there, you know, whatever it is that you feel like your calling is outside of your profession, like what you feel really brings you joy or stability or consistency, tap into that, but plan around that, you know, the weekends or late in the evenings or the 3 weekend holidays when people are like, I'm going to go and, you know, I'm take a flight out to wherever and
Miami.
Go chill. I'm like, my chill is planning the next move, you know?
Yeah. And I think being intentional and really, and even if you don't know exactly what that you want to do, but that routine, like you said, you knew you had to be here for a certain time. And so you knew that you had to budget 30 minutes
That's
for parking.
Right. That's
you know, a lot of us, I think, are so content and like, you know, I'm going to just show up when I show up. If I'm late, I'm late.
I can't stand
And we that. Don't take, you know, the proper steps to actually ensure that, okay, listen, let me really budget my time.
Yep.
Or, you know, I have these projects I would love to do. Maybe I need to wake up at 5:30 in the morning as opposed to 7 o'clock, you know, because I want to get that extra sleep in.
Yeah.
Let me actually start being disciplined. And of course, you know, you fall down, you get back up.
Of course.
It's not going to be like, you know, as soon as you put it in your mind, it's going to happen.
Absolutely not.
But I think if you start working toward that goal, right, that's what's important.
Exactly. And not wait on, you know, Superman, right, or the savior, because I struggled with that, too, for a very long time. My narrative was I'm just going to make a couple songs and I'm just going to go and play it for a label. And this is, again, throwback language, because now that's not really the case, but it was very much like they're going to listen to the song and, you know, hopefully somebody will like it and hopefully I get signed. And it was always this hopefully, and there's always this sort of waiting period.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I said, what in the world is happening here? There, years are going by, but there is very little movement. Something is wrong with this picture. Let's line these ducks up. And I had to get a line and center myself and come back inward and say, okay, you know what? There's no more waiting for anyone or anything. And I kept saying, what do you want to do? 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 And that question stirs up a lot, right?
Yeah.
And
it definitely
sort of
awakens
you too,
things.
Right? It awakens things, because then you have to really start thinking, what do I want to do? What do I want? What do I want? People think that they know what they want until they realize, oh, wow, I want to be happy. Oh, wow, I read this post where someone said, my morning routine should be whatever it is I want to do in the morning, right? And that was pretty powerful, right? Like, do you want to have the time to walk your kids to school, right? Do you want to have the time to say, you know what, I think I'm just going to fly to New Orleans and try these, you know, whatever.
Beignets,
right? Like, so I say that to say it's really, really critical that you are talking to you. So
yeah,
Rita, there are a lot of conversations that happened by myself, silent and quiet time. There's a lot of conversations that have been between me and God or the creator or the universe or whatever it is that people, you know, value and pay, you know, pay their respects to in terms of connecting with spirit. But it wasn't in the club, you know, twerking. I didn't get my answer there. I didn't get my answer hanging out with 15 people. I got it in solitude. I've got it pulling over on the side of the road and crying like, I need direction. I need clear direction as to what you, because you can't give me a gift and then I don't know what to do with it.
Exactly.
And that's how it felt. That's how it felt
exactly.
for a very long time. Yeah.
And that's very powerful, because I think a lot of us struggle with being in solitude.
Yeah.
We struggle with hearing our own voice. We struggle with hearing our own breath.
We just struggle
with it. And so I think that getting to a place, because even with myself, like I'm somebody who's very restless.
Mm.
You know, I'm I'm always, you know, doing something.
Really?
Yeah. People, that's the thing. People don't know these things about me because I always come off being
very.
Strike
me as that at all.
Yeah.
You're,
I think.
You're very, what's her name from Scandal? You're very Olivia Pope.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have, but the thing is, you know, I have, you know, many facets of myself.
Yeah.
And so for the most part, yes, I can be very, you know, matter of fact, very stern when I know what I'm doing.
Absolutely.
But then there are those moments where you don't know what's going on. And like you're knocked off your horse and you're like, then you're frantic. Mm-hmm. Then you're like, what am I supposed to do?
Absolutely.
And I think with individuals like myself, I always wish that I just had like, you know, like that, like one good thing that I was good at. With me, like I'm good at a lot of different things.
Got it.
And so like, so then I'm pulled, my energy is pulled in different things. So he's like, you know, you, that's how you end up becoming like jack of all trades, master of none.
Nothing. Yeah.
And so I think a lot of times that's what sometimes gets me restless. Like, what's the next thing? What am I going to do? And so being in solitude is you know, very hard, but I recognize that. And so that's why I pray
absolutely
more so for God. Like, listen, I want to hear your voice.
Absolutely.
I want to be able to decipher when it's you talking and when it's not.
Me or my ego.
Yeah.
Or my urgency.
Exactly.
You know, that rush mode. We have put so much pressure on time. We think that, you know, like these accomplishments are associated with time, right? You're supposed to finish college at a certain time and whatever, have kids at a certain time and be married by whatever it is, right? But the truth is it's like the trees and the rivers or whatever, like they're literally transforming every day bit by bit. And we just see the evidence of that by saying, oh, wow, it's spring.
Yeah.
Or, oh, wow, that glacier
there's
melted.
No leaves.
Yeah, right? So it's just... it's the process. We got to flow versus force. You got to flow.
So I know we talked a little, we touched a little bit about this just in our conversations, but you're an educator. I guess what got you into the world of education and how have you found balancing the two? You know, because we talked about, you know, scheduling and things like that, but like, you know, education, if you're doing your job right,
correct,
is not an easy task,
it absolutely
right?
It isn't.
And so like, how do you find... like, one, what got you into the education realm, especially dealing with middle school kids?
Everyone's like, I'm running. What?
I have a middle schooler, and I'm just like, listen.
They're special.
Let me tell you something.
Very special.
These kids, they'll send you to jail. You know what I mean? You'll voluntarily be like, listen, just lock me up until this kid goes away.
Exactly.
So, like, how did you find yourself in that field? You know, and again, like, how do you, like, truly... I guess balance the two, because they're two really distinct careers in a sense. And I feel like they also, it's two personalities because again, it's the Clarketta Kent.
Yeah,
it's the teacher by day, you know, very astute. Mm-hmm. And then it's the, you know, Demi's a baddie.
Yep. by night,
you know? And so for some people, you know, it's like, you know, how do you switch one off and how do you not cross the waves?
Mm-hmm. So, how did I get into it? My son was done with, you know, the daycare phase and pre-K and he was going into school. I've always been in education. I've always just been on the nonprofit side of education. So I've worked as a program director for a high school for about 7 years before I made the transfer and was like, you know what? When he's off, I need to be off. You know, when he, I didn't want to scramble and try to figure out what's going to happen because my old position required me to work the entire year unless I took 2 weeks off or whatever. That being said, I enter into the field of education. I go back, I get my degree, master's degree in education, and here I am in the classroom. And you're right. Middle school is definitely pulls your energy. You have to be present. I'm not sitting behind a computer all day, you know, and it's just a lot. But I think I find the balance with how my life has been even prior to that, right? It's been very much centered around organization. It's been very much centered around deliberate planning, and a lot of teaching is planning. I don't like to play catch up. I don't like to do things at the last minute. I know that there's a sense of urgency when I'm in the classroom, and I take very, very seriously the fact that I am working with a bunch of people's kids, right? And so I've never been the type of person that's just like, oh, whether you learn or not, I'm still gonna get paid. That whole saying is so like skin crawling. It's whack. I tell the parents all the time, your kids are my kids. I'm not gonna pat them on the back when I know that they can do better, and I'm not gonna feed you fluff and pretend like your kid is excelling when they absolutely need support at home, right? So the balance is really not really pulling my music life into the classroom. I don't want to talk even with teachers and stuff that know that I'm, you know, in doing for my music. I keep the conversations very limited and short. I don't want there to be any exposure to this sort of like, oh, this is more important than what I'm doing here. Mm-hmm. Because I know that 6 years from now, 10 years from now, I want them to say, you know, when I sat in my teacher's class, she did her thing, or she really cared about us, or she really taught us. And so the balance is planning. The balance is, I know that I have a radio show on Thursday, and mm-hmm. tomorrow I have a performance. So I'm working on my lessons between Monday and Wednesday. Like that 2-3 hours of just sitting down quietly, researching some things, knowing what I need. My teachers and the other support staff, like the other sixth grade teachers, are amazing. So we always plan together, and it makes sense. We have a good flow. But the balance is not like, okay, all right, what am I going to do today? It's very intentional. I think it's pretty shitty, right? Mm-hmm. To be in a classroom and to have your attention and your focus elsewhere. When I know that at the end of the year, yes, New York State exams are all important, and there's pressure on us, trust me, to have these students pass, but it's not all academics. These are young human beings. Some of them are struggling. Some of them have some, you know, emotional issues, mm-hmm. and some of them don't really come from stable foundations. And so the balance is keeping the balance. The balance is knowing my position there and knowing, you know, I think about a doctor, like when they're in the operating room, they're not thinking about anything else, right? If you're really good at what you do, exactly. Your focus is making sure that this patient is really can heal and can benefit from the work that you've done with them at that moment. So I see it that way. So yeah, I'm dry at school. I'm literally dry. They just know me as their teacher, who's annoying, who's cracking jokes on them, who's telling
you
them I'm
like
not playing.
You're fun in the classroom.
I tell them I'm not playing. I'll say, did you really just say that? You know, like those type of things. We have our jokes, but we have our serious moments, because I'm pretty strict when it comes to just like, let's get on task, let's execute this. We're not wasting time. Let's go. And when you're at recess or when we're on a trip, then I'm a little bit more laid back. My student asked me the other day. She was like, "When do you smile?" It's like the nerve. But yeah, it's definitely a balancing act. It is. It
okay.
is. Yeah.
So one of my favorite songs from you is Heartbeat, right?
Everyone loves
I love Heartbeat. I love every time you sing it. I'm like, this is my song.
I have to re-release Heartbeat.
Every time, like so the other day when we were with Capricare, mm-hmm. and they were having their I don't know if it was the first annual, but the event to kind of commemorate and remember those lost for the Haitian earthquake.
Yeah.
You know, and you performed, I'm like, I love this song.
I can't believe it. You see, it's so funny because Heartbeat for me always comes as a throwback. I'm like, oh, I did that years ago. But people are commenting and like sending me messages they're like, old to you, new to me. Can I get this? I'm like, yeah, just download it. Just whatever. But Heartbeat is so special to me. It's so, I love it. I think I'm going to have to re-release it.
You're going to have to re-release it. And so while we're here, I mean, these are not like, you know, obviously vocal mics.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you could like, you know, drop a little of the vocal for us so people can know. When I keep talking about this Heartbeat, it's like, what is this Heartbeat song?
So the song is Heartbeat, and it's basically like your love and affection for someone. And it has that like Caribbean vibe to it. It was my first song out of quote unquote retirement, right? Yeah, I know they talk that don't faze me. All they do is talk about you and me, yeah. We've been through ups and downs, we can't fake it. I hope it works out between you and me. And they all say be careful with love, but one touch from you is like I can't get enough. 'Cause right now I'm one heartbeat away. I tell you right now that I won't be pretending. Yeah, right now I'm one heartbeat away from giving you all my love, giving you all my love, giving you all my love. Yeah, yeah.
All right. I mean, listen.
That's the Heartbeat.
That is my song. It's my song. Every time I hear you sing it, I'm like, that is
my
song.
Oh, my goodness. I got to re-release it.
You have to.
Shoot a totally different video and bring it up. People be like, okay, I might do that. New idea.
So I'm always looking for exclusives on this show, obviously. Yeah. So you hear that, everybody, that we're re-releasing Heartbeat.
Yeah. We're hashtagging this
hashtagging
term.
And I know you had Diamonds in My Crown, mm-hmm. which I love as well.
Oh, thank you.
So what is, I mean, what's the next project?
So I do have another song being released soon.
Okay, you can't tell me the name of it though.
It's called Lifelong.
Okay,
Lifelong, and it's my you'll see it. It's okay. my slow down love song.
All right.
But so the I don't know. I don't know if it's okay to say, hey, this is what I want to do. This is my final destination. But what I want to say is, I would eventually like to do my music full time. I would like to tour the world. Mm-hmm. I would like to open up for major artists. I would like to write for other artists. In my head, I've written for people already. I'm like, they just don't know.
They don't know
it
yet. They didn't receive it yet.
They didn't receive the song yet. But I would like to do that. Just become independent of everything else that would take away from me just being a creative. So that's my end goal. That's my focus. Yeah.
I mean, and I totally agree with you there because I feel like sometimes you just need that space. Like for me, you know, I used to like write poetry. I used to blog a lot. And it's like, but I am one of those people. I'm not just going to wake up and be like, oh, I'm going to go write. I need to feel that energy.
Got it.
And so sometimes it could take a couple of hours.
When's the last time you wrote a poem?
The last time I wrote a poem was actually for the March event.
Really?
Yeah, I performed two.
You did?
I did, yeah.
Okay, so
that was the last time I wrote, yeah.
Okay, so this was 2019, not bad.
So you know, it was 2019.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, so with my blog posts, a lot of them are actually very thoughtful pieces. Some of them can sound poetry-ish, but when I write, it takes a lot out of me, which is why I don't do it often.
Really?
Because it takes energy. Like, I don't just write, like, I'm not a Carrie Bradshaw. It's like, you know, today I woke up this morning.
The poem you read, I think it was about your grandmother and her influence on you in your life. I remember that.
And then I had one that talked about, I wrote this one, I don't know if it was like 2010 or 11, maybe 2010, but it was called Peace.
Mm.
And so, you know, for me, again, a lot of people, I guess, don't necessarily know that about me, but that's I'm somebody crazy. Who always feels like I'm always searching for peace because I'm always restless. And so it was kind of, that poem was really just me having that understanding, like that conversation with God. Like, you know, I don't know if you ever remember that song, like, it was some elementary school song, but like the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. And so for me, it's like, I was just like, you know, where is this peace that's supposed to pass understanding? Like, where is it? You know? Because we talk about it all the time, but I don't feel it.
Got it.
And so, yeah, writing to me, whether it be blog posting, which is not typical blog, it's usually just a very like emotional or very raw pieces that I write. But I need to be like I woke up at 10 today or 7 today. I could be doing other things and then I'll like the spirit will catch me. And it's I gotta go write.
But
you can't do that when you're working a 9-to-5 job.
I get it.
You know, it's like, you know, those people like I have like notepads and pens all over the place.
Yeah.
Because things will catch me. Like I started carrying my phone in the shower because things come to me
when you're like
randomly.
Okay.
And so it's like when it, especially in the shower for whatever reason. So I need to be able to be like, hey Siri, you know, X, Y, and Z. Because that's how my brain works.
Wow.
So for somebody like me, like I would need to be off work. Like I would need to have that be a full-time job because my energy relies on my elements.
You don't strike me as restless. That's what's so interesting. Yeah. You strike me as very grounded and sort of very like A, B, C, D. So
it's the two hats
so
that I wear.
Interesting.
I'm an oxymoronish individual. I've always characterized myself as that because I am that person.
You are.
But then I'm also not that person. Yeah. It just depends.
Wow.
Yeah. But so that's
awesome.
Yeah.
Push out that poetry.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. We'll see what 2020.
I know, maybe, right?
I might come with a book or something.
Everyone's
I mean?
Laughing. Everyone's like, January been dragging. It's Listen, almost like it's been January 2020 for
forever.
50 days.
It needs to be done.
Oh my goodness. January. But,
so your future plans is to be a full-time singer, songwriter, entertainer, traveling the world, sharing your love, sharing your peace,
correct,
and continuing the activism that you're doing because you are also an activist in these streets.
Yes, I am.
Especially for the youth, empowering the youth. And I feel like especially your role as an educator, you know, being that that real like mentor and being that person who's really formulating the minds of tomorrow.
Firsthand, literally front street, you know?
That's really important to do.
I think it's so interesting too, because I also feel like as a teacher, you're teaching them manners, but then you're also teaching them about real life. You don't know how many conversations I've had with my students about things that have happened within the news and media, and I'm not going to pretend like we're just going to start a lesson, right?
Yeah.
So I'll just be like, you know, just kind of check in with them. What are your thoughts? What are you thinking? And so they've had, you know, they, as they should, opinions. And I tell them that, like, survey your neighborhood. Like, figure out why certain things are here, why certain things aren't. So they pay attention. I say, watch what you are consuming at that store. And why is your juice blue? Did you read the ingredients? So now they're like, I can't pronounce it. I said, so why should it be in you, right? And so now they're like, I'm eating better. And those type of things are so important to me, because you can read, you can do math, you can do that till you are blue in the face, Rita. I promise you, if they do not have life lessons, they are equally doomed, right? Yeah. So you have to be able to like shuck and jive out here in these streets. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's also important that I'm like, listen, I need you to go wipe your face, go tuck your shirt in, go clean your whole situation, because you don't look presentable. Mm-hmm. And there's absolutely no way that you are going to go to an internship this way. There's no way that you're going to get accepted.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So then they start checking themselves. So they'll bring their little Vaseline, and those things are like, okay, something's seeping in. They're starting to get it. It's
so
bigger.
Since that's something that's so much a part of you, how... Like, what do you envision the next steps being as a full-time singer, songwriter? Yeah. How do you envision still integrating that education and youth empowerment piece?
Yeah. You bring, so yeah, such a powerful question. You know, it's not one that I've sat with long enough to have a, you know, like perfect answer for, but I do know like organizations like Capricare, you know, and doing that sort of youth ambassador, it's like, wait a second, I need to also stretch to the other ends of the earth, you know, or the other ends of the
world. It's not just here.
It's definitely not just here. And bringing awareness and raising funds. I want to raise money for young people and initiatives that really support disadvantaged youth, because I know that if it were not for certain programs or certain resources being available, there'd be so many things that I may not have had to experience myself. And so part of it is definitely, you know, not touring just for the glitz and the glamour of it all, because that is hard work, but truly bringing awareness to, hey, this kid is amazing and he just can't afford to go to college. Mm-hmm. And so how can we support the family? How can we support this area? I think it's a little bit more than just giving book bags. You know?
That's true. I mean, you know? Which is, it's great.
Something
but there
sustainable.
Has to be an
it
extra
is great.
Step to that.
It is great. It has to be sustainable. You're right.
Okay. Yeah. So where can we find your music, and how can we, you know, slide up in your DMs?
I know. The baddie, right? You can find me on Instagram and on Twitter and on Facebook, Spotify, SoundCloud, all streaming platforms. Excuse me, it's Demi DaBaddy. So it's Demi and DaBady. Demi DaBaddy, not the baby, but DaBaddy. Shout out to the baby, though. Hello. So yeah, I'm on all streaming platforms at Demi DaBaddy. Also on YouTube, YouTube Music, iTunes, Apple Music, every platform. So just look for me there and slide in the DM and just encourage a girl, you know, just be like, hey, what's up, right? Like, I'm okay with that.
Listen, we accept positive slides.
Absolutely, positive slides.
Positive slides.
Please keep all negative slides elsewhere.
Because you will be blocked and reported. Immediately.
Immediately.
So how can we support you? Like, so there might be people who are like, ooh, you know, she's doing all these projects, and she had mentioned investors. How can we invest? How can
we
drop some dollar bills?
I appreciate that. That's so awesome. So yes, on the streaming platforms, you can also purchase the single. Mm-hmm. You can stream them. And so the streaming gets recognition, and then I can sort of graduate to greater playlists. Mm-hmm. Supporting me can be even just looking at the posts that I post. And if I'm performing somewhere, coming out, right? Like just come out, check out the music, check out the venue, support the business. A lot of the times it's Black owned businesses, or even if it's just an initiative that someone wants to push and I'm just there to showcase and support them, I would appreciate that. So a lot of what I do, I'll post on my social media, and you can support that way. Streaming, purchasing a single if you feel led to, and really just coming out and showing love. Yeah. So I like that face-to-face contact with folks.
And speaking of coming out, there is an event tomorrow,
there
right?
There is an event tomorrow. So tomorrow, what am I thinking? Tomorrow I'll be performing at Greedy Vegan. We'll be there from 7 to 10, and it is going to be at I don't want to give the wrong address. I think it's 180 Ralph Avenue, but I'll be a Greedy Vegan on Ralph Avenue because they have two locations. So I'll be there performing with Kay Angelic, who's a poet. She's amazing. A few comedians, other acts. Just come in, come eat healthy. Come see some great artists perform and come connect with me. And I can lead you to my Instagram and all my streaming platforms where you can
in person
where you can download and purchase. So yeah, come out if you're available tomorrow. Definitely. Greedy Vegan, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Ralph Avenue in Brooklyn, New York. And come see your girl, Demi.
All right.
Yes.
Well, Demi, it was a pleasure having you on the
show.
It was so
fun.
This was long overdue.
I know.
Long overdue.
But everything in perfect time, right?
Exactly.
Rita is amazing, y'all. She's just so beautiful and so poised and so cool. And we keep running into each other. So after our 500 run,
yeah, I know. It was like,
now
listen,
we're here. Yeah.
It's like, listen,
yeah.
We need to
Let's
just
make
do
this happen. Let's make this happen.
Make it happen.
I'm glad we did.
And also, you know, when Demi becomes like an international superstar, she is going to hire me.
Yes.
As her help.
Absolutely. No, not at all. Not at all.
So not I can at least get a little taste.
I'll take you with me on tour.
Yes. Listen,
I need to manage a few things.
Listen, I can be your manager. I can
be
do
like,
all
here's
of
a clipboard,
things.
Here's a pen. Rita, keep these hounds away. I need everything in order. Come on. And only the, what is it, blue M&Ms, as they say, the rider agreements. No thanks. I'm not that high maintenance.
All right. Well, this was great.
This was great.
Amazing.
I
definitely am going to do a follow up with you.
Awesome.
Because I like doing follow up.
I love
to have people here. Like, there's a couple of people who were on like last year, a couple of artists actually too.
That's amazing.
And I'm like, I kind of want to do a follow up, like what happened in the year,
That's
you know,
awesome.
And I try to like repost like some of their music and stuff.
I love it.
Just to kind of keep, you know, keep in line. So I'm definitely looking forward to the next.
I love it.
According to RP exclusive. I can't wait to hear, like, oh, you know, touring in China. Well, not China, because the coronavirus. But somewhere else. Somewhere else.
Yeah, we got to fall back right now.
We got to fall back on that one. Yeah. We got to fall back on that one.
Yes.
All right. So, everyone, thank you so much.
Thank you
for
so much.
Tuning into another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, and I will talk to you guys next week.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Sunday.
I can't wait to come back.
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.